This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The debate over net neutrality pretty much comes down to the question of control versus access. Is reducing government regulation over internet service providers good for customers and the economy, as FCC Chairman Ajit Pai said yesterday when he announced plans to relax government oversight of ISPs? Or is that bad for the internet ecosystem as a whole, all those other businesses that fear ISPs could have the power to throttle down or block how their data moves around the information superhighway? How's that for a throwback Thursday term? Well, joining us now to discuss is Asma Khalid. She leads WBUR's Bostonomics team. Asma, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Also with us today is Boston Globe columnist Hiawatha Bray. He writes for the business section of the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, are you there?
Yep, right here.
It's great to have you back on the show. Asma, let me just start with you. What exactly did FCC Chairman Pai suggest yesterday? What has he vowed to do?
So, you know, basically, he has said that the internet was this sort of glorious system for many years when there was this sort of light touch regulation, which was the way it was. He called it actually the greatest free market success story in history. But then he said that in recent years, there's been heavy-handed regulation, and that has hurt innovation, and that it's, you know, potentially sort of not led to as much job growth. And so he outlined a plan to essentially curb government regulation of the internet. And one key aspect of this is net neutrality, mm-hmm. right? That's what a lot of folks think about when they sort of heard the FCC chairman's comments. And net neutrality is essentially this Obama-era policy that requires internet service providers to treat all online data equally. And Ajit Pai is, you know, he says that net neutrality has kind of taken on this life of its own. He was very critical of the idea that there were really ever any real threats to the quote-unquote, you know, you were saying, information mm-hmm. superhighway because of net neutrality. He says people had warned that regulation would create all of these hypothetical problems.
We were warned that without it, the internet would suddenly devolve into a digital dystopia of fast lanes and slow lanes. The truth of the matter is that we decided to abandon successful policies solely because of hypothetical harms and hysterical prophecies of doom.
And so, Meghna,
hysterical, you know, prophecies of doom. Okay.
And so he says that this just wasn't a reality, that these things were sort of brought in to kind of almost fearmonger, right? And so he has outlined a plan to essentially roll back net neutrality, and that's what he did yesterday.
Okay, so Asma, I'm going to come back to you in a second because you've done some reporting on how Boston's local tech economy is responding to this. But Hiawatha, let me bring you into this conversation. Are you a hysterical doomsayer?
No, I'm not. I'm just the opposite. This is one of those cases where I'm inclined to agree with the Trump administration. I have been covering the internet now for 20 years, and we have consistently heard people warn us that the companies controlling our access to bandwidth are going to start stifling our ability to access certain kinds of internet when it is in their commercial interest to do so. It just isn't happening.
But you know what investors say. I'm going to jump right in here on you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to use a financial analogy. Investors always tell you past performance is no indication of future behavior.
No, that's fair enough. And I talk about this in the column I wrote. You can make a legitimate point that because these guys are monopolies in many parts of the country, they could conceivably do that. In my opinion, the way to deal with that is to simply pass a basic law that says here are a couple of things or two or three things we will not allow internet providers to do, period. Instead, the FCC took this hugely complex set of regulations written to manage the phone company in the 1930s and is going to try to apply it to the internet. And I just don't see the necessity of it. It doesn't make any sense. If there's a particular specific harm you're worried about, pass a law against it and leave it at that. Yep. Net neutrality opens up all kinds of doors. For example, the legislation with Title II of the Communications Act
yep.
theoretically gives the federal government the right to set the rates that companies can charge for internet access, just to give you one example. You could end up with rate-setting procedures like we used to have for the phone company. You could have all kinds of bureaucratic intrusions. And in fact, I talked to a professor at Harvard, Susan Crawford, who's very much an internet activist, who said, yeah, good. One of these days, that's our next step. We're going to try to get things like federal rate regulation for internet companies.
Well, she's one of those folks who has talked about maybe we ought to move to an era of regulating ISPs like utilities. But I'm going to...
Exactly. I don't see the point.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold on here for a second, Hiawatha. By the way, just as an aside, I saw that Senator John Thune from South Dakota has actually suggested that he likes legislation that would just prevent blocking, throttling, or paying for prioritization and just take care of that corner. So maybe that is that same compromise you're talking about.
And it just seems to me something like that. Oh, by the way, I get in trouble because I don't think they should be I don't think paid prioritization should be illegal at all. I don't even understand why people are complaining about that.
You hang on there, Hiawatha. I'm going to come. I can explain to you why people are complaining about that.
I want to bring Asma back in
because she's actually also been talking to members of the local tech economy in Boston who've got some pretty strong feelings about this. So tell me what they've been telling you, Asma.
Sure. And so, Meghna, maybe I should first hit at this concern around paid sort of prioritization of access, because that is something that did come up specifically from Mike O'Hanlon. He works in government relations for the e-commerce site Wayfair that's based here in Boston. And he told me he's not really worried so much about what rolling back net neutrality could mean for Wayfair, but he says he's worried about what it could mean for the startup ecosystem.
We think an open internet is key for the next generation of innovators to be able to come down the pike. We think the direction away from net neutrality is one where, you know, some of those new services and products could be stifled.
And so, Meghna, that was, I would say, a fairly common concern that people had, is just that they worry a lot about what this could mean for startups at this early stage if you don't really have, they're saying, sort of easy access to everything.
So, Hiawatha, just to dovetail with what Asma said, you know, 800 startups sent a letter to FCC Chairman Pai saying without net neutrality, incumbents who provide access to the internet are going to be picking winners and losers in the market.
Is there any sign that any of these companies have been doing that? No. That's my point. As I said before, the blocking and throttling thing, I think everybody agrees they shouldn't be allowed to do that. But paid prioritization drives me crazy because there's this company down the street in Cambridge. It's called Akamai. They're one of the most important internet companies in the world. What do you think they do? Their whole business is paid prioritization. Well, not their whole business. They do other things, too. But one of the key things they do is you pay them money to make sure that your internet data gets there ahead of other people's. It's perfectly legal. It's gone on for decades, and it hasn't harmed a soul. I don't get it. This is no different from saying you can buy two-day delivery or one-day delivery at FedEx. How is that unfair? I don't get it. Blocking and throttling, I agree, are unfair. But the idea that the internet should not, that a company shouldn't be able to buy better internet service, why shouldn't they?
But how are consumers going to know? How am I going to know that what's arriving at me was privileged by companies that are able to pay versus those that are not? I mean,
that's a great question. In most cases, if you couldn't tell, why would it matter? Let me give you an example.
On principle, Hiawatha.
No. Let me give you an example. Say you're watching video. This is a perfect illustration of what people say they're worried about. NBC is owned by Comcast. They could take their internet streams involving NBC materials, or they also own Universal Studios. And anything from NBC or Universal Studios would get better delivery than, say, something from YouTube. But if they did that, you'd notice. That would be the whole point of doing it. So you'd notice. So you'd see a decrease in quality. And don't you think people would complain about it? People would freak.
Okay. That's a good point, because I'm already freaking just thinking about it. But Asma, jump back in here.
I mean, that is a particular concern I have heard from some tech executives. You know, the CEO of Carbonite, which offers cloud backup services, says, sure, you know, this might all be hypothetical. He acknowledges that. But he also says, well, why wait until there's a problem? He thinks historically we have seen utility companies, particularly when they have monopolies, behave in a certain way. And he told me that he was personally concerned because there's nothing really stopping an internet service provider from prioritizing content. So, you know, he said, for example, they work in the cloud backup service world. Verizon actually offers a cloud backup service as well. He tells me he thinks that it's inferior to what Carbonite has to offer. But he's wondering, well, if no one is watching, who's to stop Verizon from subsidizing the bandwidth of their own product and just making it faster than Carbonite?
Right. Well, I mean, wasn't it?
No, somebody would be watching. Absolutely. And you know, that's one of those cases where you might have a point, but again, you don't need the entire panoply of telephone regulation to deal with that problem. To the extent that it's an issue, pass a law.
Okay.
Like you said, there is support on Republican and Democratic sides of the aisle to do something like that. I grew up in the era of the regulated phone industry, the Bell system. It is amazing how much innovation those guys stifled because they had absolutely no economic incentive to invent anything. They were a totally regulated monopoly, and the phones worked great, but all the other technologies that they invented, like, for example, they invented the telephone answering machine. They didn't bring it to market. They didn't see the point.
Yeah.
They invented DSL, a cheaper way of sending digital communication. They didn't bring it to market.
Yeah, but then those regulated monopolies got broken up and the problem was solved, right?
Because they were broken up and they weren't regulated!
I'm waiting to hear for someone to call over the breakup of Comcast, but Asma, jump back in here.
You know, this question.
That's a different argument. That's actually a different and a better argument. I would rather hear somebody argue that we should break up Comcast.
Are we firing? Are you and I finding common ground, Hiawatha? I think this is
Well, I'm not sure they should break it up, but I think you can make a strong case that it is, you know, you could argue that maybe we shouldn't have let them buy NBC or something like that. I'm not saying I'm absolutely convinced of that, but that's, I think, a much sounder argument in terms of antitrust concerns. That's where I really worry about these guys because they do have monopolies.
Right.
And that's a real problem. I agree with you.
I'm going to just pull Asma back in here because she's the voice of reason between the polls that you and I represent.
There's no reason up in here today.
I mean, I think that this concern, right, of regulation or deregulation, I think what's so fascinating to me is you can listen to Ajit Pai and then I can hear from a number of Boston tech executives and everybody says that they want the same thing. Everybody is telling me that, you know, well, Ajit didn't talk to me. I listened to him. But, you know, they're all saying we want innovation, we want job growth, and we want a free and open internet. And so everybody's saying that they want the same thing, but they feel like diametrically opposed about how you get there. You know, there's one other sort of just quick example I want to give. I spoke to the CEO of Lionbridge. It's a software company in Waltham, and they have operations in some, I think, like 36 countries. And so he gave me the example of what what concerns him is he says that. And maybe this is a sort of tangential argument, but he's worried that by rolling back net neutrality, it will affect even greater sort of internet access in the United States. And so he talked to me a bit about when they have business operations, they get, say, 50% of their revenue from overseas. He gave me examples of Finland, South Korea, where there's just tremendous internet access and availability. And he says in those situations, he's seen competition increase.
Because of the regulations?
And he would make the case that in Finland, yes, you know, Finland has mandated sort of certain levels of broadband that is available, and they did this a few years ago. So this is his argument, is that, yes, when you actually have some sort of government rules and the internet is available to everyone, he feels that it increases competition.
Hiawatha, what do you think about that?
Well, that's a different question and a much more difficult one because what you're talking about there is access as opposed to net neutrality. Huge parts of this country do not have good broadband access, and you're absolutely right about that. If you want me to tee off on the cable and internet companies, let me give you an example of something I think is outrageous. Many states have passed laws that do not allow municipalities to build their own internet networks, and I think that's nuts. There are towns that have had some considerable success, vote where the taxpayers vote, and they say, we'll build our own, but the state government is saying, we're not going to allow you, a city in, I don't know,
Western
Missouri
Massachusetts. Yeah.
Right. No, I don't think that law exists in Massachusetts. But there are states where they're told, you know, in your city, you can't build your own internet network. And I think that's wrong. That would help spread the bandwidth around. And we really do need that. The big problem is, indeed, there's not enough of it. There's not enough competition. And we've got to find better ways to deal with that.
We just got a couple seconds left. Asma Khalid, you get the last word of the day.
Well, I guess I'll just tell people sort of what's next.
Yeah.
So at this point, you know, the FCC chairman said that he would release his full document proposal. The FCC did release more, so just sort of clarification of what exactly it's proposing. It's online at the FCC's website if you want to read more details. And then they are planning a vote in mid-May. I believe it's May 18th. We'll sort of see where things are between now and then. But I will say what's interesting is, you know, you are hearing from tech leaders in the Boston world. You're hearing from some politicians. This is an issue that really is galvanizing a lot of people on a whole lot of fronts.
Right. Well,
it's not going away.
No, it's
and
not.
There will be whatever the FCC does, there will be court challenges. So even if they change the rule, it may survive. So don't forget that.
Exactly. And, you know, the last time that we went through this in 2015, I think something like 4 million pieces of letters or input were given to the FCC when this battle happened. One can only think,
oh, yeah,
you know, Moore's Law,
we're gonna
right?
Be talking
so it's
about
gonna
this
be like
for 4 years
trillion
to come.
This- Hiawatha Bray, tech columnist for the Boston Globe. It's always great to have you, Hiawatha. Thanks so much.
Yeah, great to be here.
And Asma Khalid, head of WBUR's Bostonomics team. Thank you so much, Asma.
You're welcome.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.